tubula amma saganta fa na maratu tifufa.
The Voice of America.
ይህ የአሜሪካ ድምጽ ራዲዮ ጣቢያ ነው። በ22 በ25 እና በ31 ሜትር ባንድ አጭር ሞገድ እንዲሁም በናይል ሳት ቪኦኤ 24 ላይ ከዋሽንግተን ዲሲ የሚተላለፍላችሁ የዛሬ ሰኞ ግንቦት 9 2013 ዓ.ም ምረት ዝግጅታችን ጀመረ። ለሁለት አመታት በእስር ላይ የቆዩት የኦሮሞ ነጻነት ግንባር ወይም ኦነግ አመራሮች መካከል 13ቱን ፍርድ ቤት በነጻ አሰናበታቸው። ኢትዮጵያ ውስጥ በከተሞች አካባቢ አሁን እየታየላለው የደህንነት ስጋት ምንጩ መዋቅሩ የተዛባ የጸጥታ ተቋማት በመኖሩ ነው ሲሉ የሰላም ሚኒስቴር ዴታ ወይዘሮ ፍሬአለም ሽባባው ገለጹ። ለምሽቱ ከያዝናቸው የተወሰኑ ዘገባዎቻችን መካከል ናቸው። ከዜናው በኋላ ታደምጧቸዋላችሁ። ጤና ይስጥልኝ፣ እንደምን አመሻችሁ ክቡራን አድማጮች። የምሽቱ አስተናጋጃችሁ ጽዮን ግርማ ነኝ። ብርሃን ኃይሉ ስርጭቱን ታቀናብርልናለች። ዝግጅቶቻችንን ከራዲዮ በተጨማሪ በዌብሳይታችን amharic.voanews.com ላይ ታገኙታላችሁ። እንዲሁም በአትቪኦኤ አምሃሪክ የፌስቡክ ገጻችን ላይ በቀጥታ ማዳመጥ ትችላላችሁ። በተጨማሪም ከሰኞ እስከ አርብ በአሃዱ ራዲዮ 94.3 ላይ ታገኙናላችሁ። አሁን የሰዓቱን ዋና ዋና የዓለም ዜና እናሰማችሁ።
ጤና ይስጥልኝ፣ እንደምን አመሻችሁ አድማጮች። ዜናዎቹን የማሰማችሁ ቆንጂት ታዬ ነኝ። የፌደራል ከፍተኛ ፍርድ ቤት 3ኛ የጸረ ሽብር የህገ መንግስት ጉዳዮች ወንጀል ችሎት የኦሮሞ ነጻነት ግንባር ኦነግ ከፍተኛ አመራር የሆኑት ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያናና ሌሎች 13 ሰዎች በነጻ እንዲሰናበቱ ውሳኔ ሰጠ። ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያና በሚገኙበት መዝገብ የተከሰሱት ግለሰቦች የሽብር ጥቃት አድርሰዋል፣ አስተባብረዋል እና አስተማርተዋል ተብለው በእስር ላይ መቆየታቸውን የተከሳሾቹ ጠበቃ አቶ ቱሊ ባይሳ ገልጸዋል። የፌደራል ከፍተኛ ፍርድ ቤት 3ኛ የጸረ ሽብርና የህገ መንግስት ጉዳዮች ወንጀል ችሎት ጉዳዩን ሲመረምር ቆይቶ ከሁለት አመታት በኋላ ዛሬ ተከሳሾቹ በነጻ እንዲለቀቁ ብይን ሰጥቷል ሲሉም ጠበቃው ተናግረዋል። በምሽቱ አብይ ርዕስ ዝርዝሩን የያዘ ዘገባ ይቀርብበታል። በኢትዮጵያ ትግራይ ክልል ሰብአዊ እርዳታ ለሚያስፈልጋቸው ተረጂዎች የእርዳታ ሰጪ ድርጅቶች ተደራሽነትን በማስተጓጎሉ ረገድ ወታደራዊ ኃይሎች የሚፈጽሙት የተረጋገጠ አድራጎት ከጊዜ ወደ ጊዜ እየጨመረ መምጣቱ ዩናይትድ ስቴትስን በእጅጉ አሳስቧታል ሲሉ የዩናይትድ ስቴትስ የውጭ ጉዳይ ሚኒስትር አንቶኒ ብሊንከን ተናገሩ። የውጭ ጉዳይ ሚኒስትር ብሊንከን ባለፈው ቅዳሜ ባወጡት መግለጫ ይህ ተቀባይነት የሌለው ባህሪ በክልሉ አጣዳፊ እርዳታ የሚያስፈልጋቸውን 5.2 ሚሊዮን ዜጎች ይብሱን የከፋ አደጋ ላይ የሚጥል ነው ብለዋል። የኤርትራና የኢትዮጵያ መንግስታት ኃይሎቻቸው ይህንን መወገዝ የሚገባው ድርጊት ማቆማቸውን ለማረጋገጥ አስፈላጊውን እርምጃ ሁሉ እንዲወስዱ ዩናይትድ ስቴትስ ጥብቅ ጥሪዋን ታስተላልፋለች ብለዋል ብሊንከን። ከዚህም በተጨማሪ ሁሉም ወገኖች በዓለም አቀፍ ሰብአዊ ሕግጋት የሲቪሎችን ከጥቃት መጠበቅ፣ ግጭቶችን ማቆም እንዲሁም እጅግ አጣዳፊ ችግር ላይ ላሉ እርዳታ እንዲደርስ መፍቀድን ጨምሮ ያሉባቸውን ግዴታዎች በሙሉ እንዲያከብሩ እናሳስባለን ሲሉ የውጭ ጉዳይ ሚኒስትሩ አክለዋል። በዚህ ረገድ የኢትዮጵያ መንግስት መሪነቱን በመያዝ በትግራይ ክልል በጠቅላላ የሰብአዊ ረድኤት አካላት ሙሉ በሙሉ ያለምንም እንቅፋት እንዲንቀሳቀሱ በአስቸኳይ ማመቻቸት አለበት ብለዋል። ትግራይ ውስጥ የታጠቁ ኃይሎች በሲቪሎች ላይ ጥቃት እንደሚያደርሱ፣ ጾታ ተኮር ጥቃቶችና የሰብአዊ መብት ጥሰትን የመሳሰሉ የግፍ አድራጎቶች እንደሚፈጽሙ በርካታ የተረጋገጡ ሪፖርቶች አሉ ያሉት የዩናይትድ ስቴትሱ የውጭ ጉዳይ ሚኒስትር በተለይ በኤርትራ የመከላከያ ኃይሎችና በአማራ ክልል ኃይሎች የተፈጸሙት አስከፊ አድራጎቶች ናቸው ብለዋል። የኤርትራ ወታደሮች አሁንም ትግራይ ውስጥ መኖራቸው የኢትዮጵያን መረጋጋትና ብሔራዊ አንድነት ይጎዳል ሲሉም አክለዋል። የኤርትራ መንግስት ኃይሎቹን ከትግራይ እንዲያስወጣ በድጋሚ እንጠይቃለን። የኤርትራና የኢትዮጵያ መንግስታት ወታደሮቹ እንደሚወጡ በተደጋጋሚ ቃል የገቡ ቢሆንም ተግባራዊ ማድረጉ ላይ ግን እስካሁን ምንም እንቅስቃሴ አልተደረገም ሲሉ ማክለዋል የውጭ ጉዳይ ሚኒስትሩ። የኢትዮጵያ መንግስትም የአማራ ክልል ኃይሎችን ከትግራይ ክልል እንዲያስወጣና የምዕራባዊ ትግራይ አካባቢ ለክልሉ የሽግግር አስተዳደር ቁጥጥር ስር መዋሉን እንዲያረጋግጥ እንጠይቃለን ያለው የዩናይትድ ስቴትስ የውጭ ጉዳይ ሚኒስትር ብሊንከን መግለጫ ጠቅላይ ሚኒስትር አብይ አህመድና ፕሬዚደንት ኢሳያስ አፈወርቂ የግፍ አድራጎት የፈጸሙትን ሁሉ በተጠያቂነት መያዝ አለባቸው ብለዋል። በቀጣይ ቀናት መግለጫው ላይ ለቀረቡት ክሶች፣ ቅሬታዎችና ማሳሰቢያዎች ምላሾችን ይዘን ለመምጣት ጥረት እናደርጋለን። ፈረንሳይ ለሱዳን 1.5 ቢሊዮን ዶላር በብድር ልትሰጥ ማቀዷን ዛሬ ይፋ አደረገች። ገንዘቡ ሱዳን ለዓለም አቀፉ የገንዘብ ድርጅት IMF መክፈል ያለባትን ዕዳ ለመክፈል የሚረዳት እንደሚሆን ነው የተገለጸው። የፈረንሳይ የገንዘብ ሚኒስትር ብሩና ማይር ለሱዳን ብድሩ እንደሚሰጥ ዛሬ የፈረንሳዩ ፕሬዚደንት ኢማኑኤል ማክሮን በሚያስተናግዱት የሱዳን እርዳታ ዓለም አቀፍ ጉባኤ መክፈቻ ላይ ነው ይፋ ያደረጉት። ገንዘቡ ሱዳን ያለባትን የ50 ቢሊዮን ዶላር የውጭ ዕዳ እንድትከፍልና ኢኮኖሚዋን መልሳ ለመገንባት እንዲሁም የውጭ መዋዕለ ንዋይ መሳብ እንድትችል ለማገዝ የታቀደ እንደሆነ ተመልክቷል። ዜናው የሚተላለፍላችሁ ዋሽንግተን ዲሲ ከሚገኘው የአሜሪካ ድምጽ ራዲዮ ጣቢያ ነው። የኮቪድ-19 ክትባት በፍትሃዊ መንገድ እንዲዳረስ የተዋቀረው ድርጅት COVAX በእጁ ያለው ክትባት እየተሟጠጠበት መሆኑ ተገለጸ። የዚህ ችግር አመዛኙ ምክንያት የህንዱ ሴረም ኢንስቲትዩት ለዓለም ሊያቀርብ ቃል ገብቶ የነበረውን ክትባት በሀገር ውስጥ ባለው የከበደ የክትባት ፍላጎት የተነሳ ለበርካታ ወራት ማቅረብ ሳይቻለው በመቅረቱ መሆኑ ነው የተገለጸው። ለCOVAX ክትባቶቹን የሚገዛውና የሚያቀርበው ዩኒሴፍ ዋና ስራ አስኪያጅ ሄንሪየታ ፎር አገሮች ለCOVAX ሊሰጡ ቃል የገቡትን የገንዘብ ድጋፍ ብቻ ሳይሆን ያላቸውን ትርፍ ክትባት እንዲሰጡ ተማጽኖ አቅርበዋል። በተደረጉ አሃዛዊ ግምገማዎች መሰረት የG7 እና የበለጸጉ ሀገሮች እንዲሁም የአውሮፓ ህብረት አባል ሀገሮች በመጪዎቹ ሰኔ፣ ሐምሌና ነሐሴ ወራት ከሚኖራቸው የክትባት ክምችት 20 ከመቶን ብቻ እንኳን ለሌሎች ቢያካፍሉ 153 ሚሊዮን ክትባቶችን ሊረዱ እንደሚችሉ ተጠንቷል ብለዋል። የዩኒሴፍ ዳይሬክተር ፊዮር ይህ ለራሳቸው ህዝቦች አስፈላጊውን ክትባት አስቀምጠው ለCOVAX ሊሰጡት የሚችሉት ነው ብለዋል። ይበዚህ እንዳለ ህንድ ዛሬ ሰኞ ምዕራባዊውን የጠረፍ አካባቢዋ በከባድ የባህር ማዕበል እንደሚመታ የተተነበየ ሲሆን በሺዎች የተቆጠሩ ነዋሪዎች አካባቢውን ለቀው እንዲወጡ ተደርጓል። የኮቪድ ክትባት መርሃ ግብሩም ተቋርጧል። ሳምንታት በየቀኑ በመቶ ሺዎች የተቆጠሩ ዜጎች ለቫይረሱ እየተጋለጡ በሚገኙባት በዛች ሀገር የጠረፍ አካባቢ ነዋሪዎች በየመጠለያው እንዲቆዩ መደረጉ ደግሞ የቫይረሱን መዛመት ያባብሰዋል የሚል ስጋት ፈጥሯል። ጋዛም እስራኤል ያካሄደችው ባለው ጥቃት ነዋሪዎች ከአየር ጥቃቱ በመሸሽ በመጠለያዎች ተፋፍገው መሸሸጋቸው በግዛቲቱ የኮቪድ-19 ስርጭቱን ሊያባብሰው እንደሚችል የሰብአዊ ረድኤት ድርጅቶች ባለስልጣናት እያስጠነቀቁ ናቸው። ጥቃቶቹ ምክንያት የኮሮና ቫይረስ ምርመራና ክትባት መርሃ ግብሮችም ተቋርጠዋል። በዚህ እንዳለ የዩናይትድ ስቴትስ የተላላፊ በሽታዎች ከፍተኛው ኤክስፐርት ዶክተር አንቶኒ ፋውቺ በዩናይትድ ስቴትስ በወረሽኙ ከነጮች ይልቅ ነጭ ያልሆኑ ማህበረሰቦች በይበልጥ መጎዳታቸውን ሊካድ የማይችለውን የዘረኝነት ውጤት ገሃድ ያወጣ ሲሉ ተናገሩ። ፋውቺ ትናንት እሁድ ለአትላንታው ኤመሪ ዩኒቨርሲቲ የተማሪዎች ምረቃ ስነ ስርዓት ላይ ባሰሙት ንግግር ጥቁሮች የላቲን አሜሪካ ዝርያ ያላቸውና ቀደምት አሜሪካውያን ኔቲቭ አሜሪካንስ ከነጮች ይበልጥ ስራቸው ላይ መገኘት የሚገባቸው ተብለው በሚፈረጁ የስራ መስኮች የተሰማሩ መሆናቸውን ገልጸው ለቫይረሱ መጋለጣቸውን ፋውቺ አስገንዝበዋል። እንደ ስኳር ህመም የደም ግፊትና ከመጠን በላይ ውፍረት የመሳሰሉ የጤና ችግሮች የተጋለጡም ስለሆኑ በቫይረሱ ሲያዙ በጽኑ የመታመማቸውን እድል የጎላ ያደርገዋል ብለዋል። ተመራቂ ተማሪዎች ለተዛባው የኩልነት ሁኔታ መፍትሄ በመፈለግ እንዲሰሩ ዶክተር ፋውቺ ጥሪ አቅርበዋል። ሁለተኛ ሳምንቱን በያዘው የእስራኤልና የፍልስጤም ግጭት እስራኤል ዛሬ ሰኞ ማለዳ ጋዛ ላይ ያየር ጥቃት አድርሳለች። የእስራኤል ወታደራዊ አዛዦች እንዳሉት የዛሬው ድብደባ ኢላማ ያደረገው ጋዛን የሚያስተዳድረው ሐማስ የሚጠቀምባቸውን መሻለኪያዎችና የቡድኑን የተዋጊ አዛዦች መኖሪያ ቤቶች መሆኑን ገልጸዋል። የዩናይትድ ስቴትስ የውጭ ጉዳይ ሚኒስትር አንቶኒ ብሊንከን ሐማስና ሌሎችም ታጣቂ ቡድኖች እስራኤል ላይ የሚያደርሱትን የሮኬት ጥቃት በአስቸኳይ እንዲያቆሙ ጥሪ አቅርበው እስራኤልን ብትሆን ራስዋን ከጥቃት የመከላከል መብት ያላት ሆኖ ሳለ ሲቪሎች ላይ ጉዳት እንዳይደርስ የመጠንቀቅም ኃላፊነት አለባት ብለዋል። ትናንትና የእስራኤል ጠቅላይ ሚኒስትር ቤንጃሚን ኔታንያሁ ጋዛ ላይ ህይወት እያጠፋ ያለውን የአየር ጥቃት በአፋጣኝ የማቆም እቅድ የለንም ሲሉ ተናግረዋል። ትናንት የእስራኤል ተዋጊ ጀቶች ጋዛ ውስጥ 3 ህንጻዎችን በቦምብ አውድመው ቢያንስ 42 ሰዎች ገድለዋል። በአንድ የአየር ጥቃት በተገደሉ ሰዎች ብዛት የትናንቱ ከፍተኛው መሆኑ ነው። ሐማስ ትናንት እሁድ ጠዋት ጋዛ ውስጥ ከሚገኝ የሲቪሎች መኖሪያ አካባቢ ወደ እስራኤል ሮኬቶችን የተኮሰ ሲሆን አንደኛው ሮኬት ደቡባዊ እስራኤል አሽኬሎን ከተማ የሚገኝ ምክራብ ላይ ወድቋል። በሰው ላይ የደረሰ ጉዳት ግን አልነበረም ተብሏል። ትናንትና የእስራኤል ጠቅላይ ሚኒስትር ቤንጃሚን ኔታንያሁ ከፖለቲካ ተቀናቃኛቸው ከቤኒ ጋትስ ጋር ያቋም አንድነትን ለማሳየት ጎን ለጎን ቆመው ለህዝቡ ባደረጉት ንግግር ሙሉ ኃይላችን ማጥቃታችንን ቀጥለናል፣ ጊዜ ይወስዳል ብለዋል። ጠቅላይ ሚኒስትሩ ትናንት ለዩናይትድ ስቴትስ ሲቢኤስ ቴሌቪዥን በሰጡት ቃል ደግሞ ጥቃቱ ረጅም ጊዜ እንደማይወስድ ተስፋ አለኝ ብለዋል። ሆኖም ሁለቱ ወገኖች ተኩስ እንዲያቆሙ ለመሸምገል ዓለም አቀፍ ጥረት እየተደረገ ቢሆንም ኔታንያሁ ጥቃቱ በአፋጣኝ እንዲቆም እቅድ የለንም ሲሉ ተደምጠዋል። ይበዚህ እንዳለ ትናንትና ሊባኖስ ውስጥ በመቶች የተቆጠሩ ሰዎች እስራኤል ጋዛ ላይ የምታደርሰውን ጥቃት በመቃወም ሰልፍ አካሂደዋል። የተባበሩት መንግስታት ድርጅት የጸጥታ ምክር ቤት ግጭቱን ለማብረድ ስለሚቻልበት መንገድ ትናንት ስብሰባ አድርጎ የተነጋገረ ሲሆን ዩናይትድ ስቴትስ በበኩሏ ሁለቱ ወገኖች ተኩስ ለማቆም እንዲስማሙ የሚሞክሩ ዲፕሎማት ልካለች። ፕሬዚደንት ጆ ባይደንም የእስራኤል ጠቅላይ ሚኒስትር ኔታንያሁንና የፍልስጤሙን ፕሬዚደንት ማህሙድ አባስን ለየብቻ በስልክ አነጋግረዋል። የአውሮፓ ህብረት የውጭ ጉዳይ ሚኒስትሮች ነገ ማክሰኞ በርቀት በኢንተርኔት ቪዲዮ አማካይነት ተሰባስበው እየተባባሰ ስለመጣው ግጭት እንደሚነጋገሩም ተዘግቧል። አድማጮች፣ ለሰዓቱ ያለን ዜና በዚህ ያበቃል።
ቆንጅታዬን ለዜናው እናመሰግናለን። ይህ ከአሜሪካ ድምጽ ራዲዮ ጣቢያ በአጭር ሞገድ በ22 ሜትር ባንድ በ13765 ኪሎ ሄርዝ በ25 ሜትር ባንድ በ12040 ኪሎ ሄርዝ በ31 ሜትር ባንድ በ9485 ኪሎ ሄርዝ እንዲሁም በናይል ሳት ቪኦኤ 24 ላይ ከዋሽንግተን ዲሲ የሚተላለፍላችሁ የዛሬ ሰኞ ግንቦት 9 2013 ዓመተ ምህረት ዝግጅታችን ነው። አድማጮች፣ የኮሮና ቫይረስ ስርጭትን ለመግታት በየቤታችን ሆነን ስናስተላልፍ የቆየነውን ዝግጅት በግማሽ ወደ ስቱዲዮ በመመለስ አሁን ከስቱዲዮ እያስተላለፍንላችሁ እንገኛለን። ዝግጅቶቻችንን ከራዲዮ በተጨማሪ በዌብሳይታችን amharic.voanews.com እንዲሁም በአት ቪኦኤ አምሃሪክ የፌስቡክ ገጻችን ላይ በቀጥታ ማዳመጥ ትችላላችሁ። በተጨማሪም ከሰኞ እስከ አርብ በአህዱ ራዲዮ 94.3 ላይ እንገኛለን። አሁን ወደ ዕለቱ አብይ ርዕስ እንለፍ። ከኦሮሞ ነጻነት ግንባር ኦነግ አመራሮች መካከል በኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያናና በአቶ ኪሲ ቂጡማ የሚጠሩ 13 ሰዎች የፌዴራል ከፍተኛ ፍርድ ቤት በነጻ አሰናበታቸው። ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያና የሚገኙበት በአቶ ኪስ ቂጡማ የሚጠራው መዝገብ ላይ የተከሰሱት ግለሰቦች የሽብር ጥቃት አድርሰዋል እንዲሁም አስተባብረዋል አሰማርተዋልም ተብለው መከሰሳቸውን የተከሳሾቹ ጠበቃ አቶ ቱሊ ባይሳ ገልጸዋል። የፌደራል ከፍተኛ ፍርድ ቤት 3ኛ የጸረ ሽብርና የህገ መንግስት ጉዳዮች ወንጀል ችሎት ጉዳዩን ሲመረምር ቆይቶ ከሁለት አመት በኋላ ዛሬ ተከሳሾቹ በነጻ እንዲለቀቁ ብይን መስጠቱን የተከሳሾቹ ጠበቃ ተናግረዋል። ጻሃይ ዳምጠው ዝርዝሩን ታስደምጣናለች።
በሽብር ወንጀል የተከሰሱት እነ ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያናን ጨምሮ 12 ተከሳሾች በፍርድ ቤት ኢዛዝ በነጻ ተሰናብተዋል። በዛሬው ቀጠሮ የፌደራል ከፍተኛ ፍርድ ቤት 3ኛ የጸረ ሽብርና የህገ መንግስት ጉዳዮች ወንጀል ችሎት ነው በነጻ እንዲሰናበቱ ብይን የሰጠው። ተከሳሾቹ በምዕራብ ኦሮሚያ በተለይ በአራቱ የወለጋ ዞኖችና በምዕራብ ሸዋ አካባቢዎች ከኦነግ ሸኔ አመራሮች ጋር በመቀናጀት የኦሮሚያ ክልል መንግስትን በኃይል ለማውረድ በተለያዩ ቦታዎች ህብረተሰቡን በማሸበር ተሰማርቷል በሚል የሽብር ወንጀል ነው አቃቤ የከሰሳቸው ስሉ የህግ ጠበቃቸው አቶ ቱሊ ባይሳ ገልጿል።
ከተከሳሾች በሙሉ ሽብርተኝነት ነው የተከሰሱት። በተለይ ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያናን የከሰሱት ኦነግ ሸኔ የሚባል ቡድን ኃላፊና አስተባባሪ በመሆን ወይም መሪ በመሆን ለነሱ ወታደራዊ ስልጠና በመስጠት ሰዎችን እንዲያግቱ በማድረግ እንዲገሉ በማድረግ እንዲያቆስሉ በማድረግ ከፍተኛ አመራር ሰጥቷል በዚህ ቡድን ውስጥ የሚል ክስ ነበረ። ሌሎችም ይመለከታቸዋል ግን እሳቸውን በተለየ ሁኔታ ነው በጣም ሰፊ እና ዝርዝር ክስ ነበረ የቀረበባቸው። ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያና እና እነዚህ ሰዎች በሰጡት አመራርነት በተሳተፉበት ቀጥታ ድርጊት በአጠቃላይ ወደ 40 የሚሆኑ ሰዎች ተገለዋል። ወደ 30 አካባቢ የሚጠጉ ሰዎች ላይ ጉዳት ደርሷል ወይም ቆስሏል። ከስ የሚበልጡ ሰዎች ታግተዋል ወይም የት እንደተወሰዱ አይታወቅም። እነዚህ ተከሳሾች ይህንን መርጠዋል፣ አስተባብረዋል፣ በቀጥታ ተሳትፏል የሚል ክስ ነው የቀረበው።
አቶ ቱሊ አክለውም ፍርድ ቤቱ አቃቤ ሕግ ያቀረበውን የሰውና የሰነድ ማስረጃ መርምሮ የወንጀል ሕጉን ስለመተላለፋቸው ሲመረምር መቆየቱን አስረድቷል።
ፍርድ ቤቱ በአቃቤ ሕግ በኩል የቀረበው የሰውና የሰነድ ማስረጃ ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያና የኦነግ ሸኔ ኃላፊ ወይም አስተባባሪ ሳይሆኑ የኦሮሞ ነጻነት ግንባር ከፍተኛ አመራር መሆናቸውን ብቻ ነው ፋይሉ የሚያሳየው። ኮሎኔሉ በምንም መልኩ በዚህ በቀረበባቸው ክስ ውስጥ ስለመሳተፋቸው አቃቤ ሕግ በሰውም ሆነ በጽሁፍ ማስረዳት አልቻለም። ስለዚህ ራሳቸውን መከላከያ ማስረጃ ማቅረብ ሳያስፈልጋቸው ከክሱ በነጻ እንዲሰናበቱ ፍርድ ቤቱ ብይን ሰጥቷል።
ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያና ከዚህ ቀደም በዚህ መዝገብ ተከሰው ለአንድ አመት ፍርድ ቤት ሲመላለሱ ቆይተው በመሀል ግልጽ ባልሆነ ሁኔታ ከእስር ቤት ተለቀው ነበር ብለዋል አቶ ቱሊ።
ኮሎኔል ገመቹ መጀመሪያውንም የተከሰሱት በዚሁ መዝገብ ላይ ነው። ከዛሬ አመት በፊት አካባቢ ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያና ክሊንቶ ነበሩ። አንድ ቀን ጠዋት ተነስቶ ተፈትቻለሁ ብሎ መጡ እኛ ጋር። እንዴት ተፈቱ ሲባል ምንም አይነት የቅርታ ደብዳቤ የላቸውም ወይ ደግሞ ክስ ተቋርጧል የሚል ነገር የላቸውም። የእውነት ግጣሽ ወረቀት ይዞ መጡ። ወረቀቱ የምለው ምንድን ነው? በጸረ ሽብር አዋጅ ተከሰዋል ይላል። የተለቀቁበት ምክንያት ደግሞ ከበላይ የተሰጠ ትእዛዝ ይላል። ትእዛዙ ደግሞ ከፍርድ ቤት ይሁን ከአቃቤ ሕግ ይሁን ከየት እንደሆነ የሚያመላክተው ነገር የለም። ለተወሰነ ጊዜ ውጭ ከቆዩ በኋላ እሳቸው እንደገና ይዞ መልሰው በዚሁ ፋይል ላይ ክሳቸው እንዲቀጥል ነው የተደረገው። እንግዲህ ከሁለት አመት በላይ በፍርድ ቤት ተመላልሶ እስር ላይ ሆኖ እስካሁን ድረስ ቆይቶ ዛሬ ነጻ የተባሉት
በአቶ ኪሲ ቅጡማ መዝገብ ከሚጠሩ 12 ተከሳሾች መካከል ሁለት የፖሊስ አባላት፣ የሕክምና ባለሙያዎችና በተለያዩ የሙያ ዘርፎች የተሰማሩ የመንግስት ሰራተኞች ይገኙበታል ያሉት ጠበቃቸው አቶ ቱሊ 12ቱም በሽብር የተከሰሱ መሆናቸውንም ጠቅሷል። ከሁለት አመት በላይ በእስር መቆየታቸውንም አስታውሷል። ኮሎኔል ገመቹ አያና የኦሮሞ ነጻነት ግንባር ኦነግ ከኤርትራ ወደ ኢትዮጵያ ሲመለስ ከመንግስት ተወካዮች ጋር ከተወያዩት የኦነግ አመራሮች መካከል አንዱ ነበሩ። ለአሜሪካ ድምፅ ፀሐይ ዳምጦ ከአዲስ አበባ።
ፀሐይ ዳምጠውን ለዘገባው እናመሰግናለን። አድማጮች የሰማችሁት የዕለቱን አብይ ርዕስ ዘገባ ነበር። የትንታኔው መጽሔት ይቀጥላል። ኢትዮጵያ ውስጥ በከተሞች አካባቢ አሁን እየታየ ላለው የደህንነት ስጋት ምንጩ መዋቅሩ የተዛባ የጸጥታ ተቋማት በመኖሩ ነው ሲሉ የሰላም ሚኒስቴር ሚኒስትር ዴኤታ ወይዘሮ ፍሬአለም ሽባባው ገለጹ። የዘጠኝ ክልሎችና የሁለት ከተማ አስተዳደሮች የጸጥታ አመራሮች የተሳተፉበት የገለልተኛ አማካሪ ቡድንና የማህበረሰብ ቅኝት ወይም ፓትሮል የጋራ መድረክ በባህር ዳር ከተማ እየተካሄደ ነው። አስቴር ምስጋናው ከባህር ዳር ዝርዝሩን ታስደምጠናለች።
በሰላም ሚኒስቴርና በፌደራል ፖሊስ ኮሚሽን እንዲሁም በክልል ጸጥታ አመራሮች ትብብር በተዘጋጀው የመከከር መድረክ ላይ የተገኙት የሰላም ሚኒስቴር ዴኤታ ፍሬአለም ሽባባው የለውጡ መንግስት በሀገሪቱ ለማስወገድ ቃል ከገባቸው ችግሮች አንዱ ከፖለቲካ ከዘርና ከሃይማኖት ገለልተኛ የሆነ የጸጥታ ተቋም መገንባት ነው። በዚህ መሰረት ከፖለቲካ ወገንተኝነት ነጻ የሆነ ሰነድ ማዘጋጀትም ተችሏል። ወይዘሮ ፍሬአለም በኢትዮጵያ በተለይ በከተሞች አካባቢ አሁን እየታየላለው የሰላም መደፍረስ ምንጩ ከተቋማቱ ነው ብለዋል።
ሀገራችን በብዙ ተቸግራለች። የተቸገረችው ሰው ስለጠፋ የሚሰራ ሰው ስለጠፋ አይደለም። የጸጥታ ተቋማት ስለሌሉንም አይደለም። ነገር ግን ግራ የተጋባ ሲስተሙ የተዛባ አስተሳሰቡ ልክ ያልሆነ የጸጥታ ተቋማት በመኖራቸው ምክንያት ነው። እነዚህን ለማስተካከል ቁርጠኝነቱ ከመጀመሪያውም ለውጡ በተካሄደበት ማግስት ክቡር ጠቅላይ ሚኒስትራችን ለህዝቡ የገቡት ቃል ገለልተኛ የሆነ የጸጥታ ተቋም ኢትዮጵያ ይኖራታል ነበር። ይህንን ቃል በማክበር የሰላም ሚኒስቴር ያዘጋጀው የፖሊስ ዶክትሪን በዝርዝር በከፍተኛ ባለሙያዎች ተተጅቶ ለህዝቡ ይፋ ሆኖ አሁን ወደ ስራ ገብተናል። ምንም እንኳ ቤታችን ባይቃጠል፣ ልጆቻችን ባይሞቱ፣ ቤት ባንፈናቀል አእምሮ የሚያደሙ ነገሮች ግን እንሰማለን በሚዲያ። ሰው በሰላም ወጥቶ የማይገባበት ከተማ ውስጥ ካለን የኛ የቤት ስራ ነው። የፖሊስ አባላት፣ የፖሊስ ተቋም ሀገራችን ያስፈልጋታል። የስነ ምግባር ችግር በውይይት አይፈታም። የስነ ምግባር ችግር ስነ ስርዓት በማስተማር ነው የሚፈታው።
በአራት ክልሎችና በአንድ ከተማ አስተዳደር የተጀመረው የገለልተኛ አማካሪ ቡድንና የማህበረሰብ ደህንነት ቅኝት ወይም ፓትሮል አደረጃጀትና የስራ እንቅስቃሴ ሲገመገም በማህበረሰቡ ዘንድ የእርስ በርስ ትውውቅ በመፍጠር ወንጀል እንዲቀንስ አድርጓል ብለዋል ወይዘሮ ፍሬአለም።
በሌቦች የሚበላሽ የነበረ የመብራት የፖል የቆመ የትራንስፎርመር እንደዚህ የሚቆራረጡ የነበሩ እነሱ ሁሉ አስጠብቀናቸዋል። አካባቢያችን ያሉ የመንግስት ንብረቶች ሳይቀሩ እየጠበቅናቸው ነው። ከሌላ ማዶ ተሻግረው የሚመጡ ወንጀለኞችን እዚህ ይዘን ለፖሊስ ሰጥተናል። እኛም እርስ በርሳችን ተዋውቀናል። ጎረቤቶቻችን እናውቃቸውም ነበር። አሁን ግን እንተዋወቃለን፣ እንቀያየቃለን፣ መረጃ እንቀያየራለን። በፖሊስ በኩል ስንጠይቅ በስርዓት ከህብረተሰቡ ጋር እየተነጋገር እየሰራ ነው። በጣም ደስተኞች ይሄን ነበር ያሉ።
በቅርቡ የአማራ ክልል ፖሊስ ኮሚሽንን እንዲመሩ የተሾሙት ኮሚሽነር ተኮላ ይፎክሩ በአማራ ክልል የተጀመረው ይህ አዲስ አደረጃጀት ከሰሜኑ የሀገሪቱ ክፍል ህግ ማስከበር ጋር አመርቂ ውጤት እንዳላሳየ ተናግረዋል።
እነዚህ ሁለት አደረጃጀቶች በክልላችን ውስጥ ተግባራዊ ለማድረግ ትኩረት ሰጥተን ስንሰራ ቆይተናል። ከነ ችግሩ አደረጃጀቱን ለማስቀጠል ተችሏል። የተወሰኑ ዞኖችም ውጤት አስመዝግበውበታል። በመሆኑ ዓላማው በሀገራችን ውስጥ የተረጋጋ ሰላምና የዜጎች ጸጥታ ስጋት ማስወገድ እንዲሁም ክልሎች በትብብርና በቅንጅት ለመስራት ምቹ ሁኔታዎችን የሚፈጥር በመሆኑ ተጠናክሮ ሊቀጥል እንደሚገባው እናምናለን።
የዘጠኝ ክልሎችና የሁለት ከተማ አስተዳደሮች የጸጥታ አመራሮች የተሳተፉበት ይህ የምክክር መድረክ በነገው ዕለትም እንደሚቀጥል ተገልጿል። ለአሜሪካ ድምጽ ሬዲዮ አስቴር ምስጋናው ባህር ዳር።
አስቴር ምስጋናውን ለዘገባዋ እናመሰግናለን። ወደ ተከታዩ ዘገባ እናልፋለን። ተከታዩ ዘገባ እዚህ ዩናይትድ ስቴትስ የሚያቆየን ይሆናል። የአሜሪካውያን ሙስሊም ድርጅቶች የተቀደሰውን የረመዳን ወር ያበቃበትን ኢድ አልፈጥር ለማክበር በዋይት ሀውስ ቤተ መንግስት ትላንት በርቀት በተደረገው ስነ ስርዓት ላይ እንዳልተገኙ የባይደን አስተዳደር እስራኤል በፍልስጤማውያን ላይ የምትፈጽመውን ጥቃት ይደግፋል በሚል ተቃውሞ በበዓሉ ስነ ስርዓት ላይ እንዳልተገኙ በዋይት ሀውስ የአሜሪካ ድምጽ ዘጋቢ ፓትሲ ውዳስኳራ በላከችው ዘገባ ገልጻለች። አዳነች ሳዬ ዝርዝሩን ታስደምጠናለች።
ኢድ አልፈጥር በዓለም ዙሪያ ላሉት ሙስሊሞች የደስታና የፌስታ ዕለት ነው። የአሁኑ የኢድ በዓል ግን በዓለም አቀፉ ወረርሽኝ ብቻ ሳይሆን በእስራኤልና በፍልስጤማውያን መካከል የሚካሄደው ግጭት በተባባሰበት ጊዜ መሆኑ ሁኔታውን አደብዝዟል። አንዳንድ የሙስሊሞች ድርጅቶች በዋይት ሀውስ ቤተ መንግስት በርቀት በተዘጋጀው በዓል ላለመገኘት እንዲወስኑ አድርጓል። ሮበርት መካው በአሜሪካና በእስላማዊ ግንኙነት ካውንስል የመንግስታዊ ጉዳይ ስራ አስኪያጅ ናቸው።
The Council on American Islamic Relations has joined.
Yeah, Americana Islamic Gnunyinet Council, the White House, Berkat, Bemikaido, Ba Al Lalamagdenit, Bemosan, Kaliluch Behrai, Islamic Dritochgar, Takalakalal. Yeah, Biden Astadadar, Yisrael Mengist, the Gaza Nabam Sak, Yerusalem Balut, Felist Emma, Laila Mifasama, Yesabaim of Tibedel, Bemisato, Asazanina, Memphis, Emir Bishmilash Maknatno, Councilu, Ba Baalu, Lalamagdenit, Yosano.
የቀድሞ ፕሬዝዳንት ቢል ክሊንተን ለአውሮፓ ቆጣጣር በ1996 ዓ.ም በጀመሩት መሰረት የአሜሪካ ፕሬዝዳንቶች የሮማዳን ጾም በሚፈታበት ዕለት በዋይት ሃውስ ቤተ መንግስት ግብዣ ሲያደርጉ ቆይተዋል። በዚህ ዓመት ታዲያ ፕሬዝዳንት ጆ ባይደን እና ቀዳማዊቷ እመቤት ጂል ባይደን የዒድ በዓል አዘጋጅተዋል። ፕሬዝዳንት ባይደን ታዲያ በእስራኤል እና በፍልስጤማውያን መካከል የሚካሄደው ግጭት በዓለም ዙሪያ ያሉትን ሙስሊሞች እንደሚያሳዝን አምነው ተቀብለዋል።
My administration is going to continue engaged.
አስተዳደሩ ከእስራኤልና ከፍልስጤማውያን እንዲሁም ከሚመለከታቸው ቀጠናዊ አገሮች ጋር በመነጋገር ዘላቂ መረጋጋት እንዲኖር መስራቱን ይቀጥላል።
በድፎቅ ቅዳሜ በብዙ ሺዎች የሚቆጠሩ ሙስሊሞች ዋሽንግተን፣ ኒውዮርክና ቦስተን በሚገኙባቸው አበይት ከተሞች የባይደን አስተዳደር እስራኤል መንግስት በፍልስጤማውያን ላይ ይፈጽማል የሚሉትን በመመልከት ተግባር የበለጠ እንዲሰራ በመጠየቅ የተቃውሞ ሰልፍ አካሂደዋል። ሳሐም እስቼክ የተባሉ ፍልስጤማዊት አሜሪካዊት አስተያየታቸውን አስተምተዋል።
በንጹሃን ላይ በሚፈጸመው ግድያና በወረራው ተተላሽተናል።
በተባበሩት መንግስታት ድርጅት የእስራኤል አምባሳደር ዲላን ኤርደን በበኩላቸው ትላንት በጸጥታው ምክር ቤት ባደረጉት ንግግር እስራኤል ራስዋን ነው የተከላከለችው ሐማስ ሆን ብሎ ያካሄደው ግጭት ነው ብለዋል።
This is not the first time that Hamas has been
Hamas በፍልስጤማውያን ሲቪሎች መሃል ተደብቆ በእስራኤላውያን ሲቪሎች ላይ ሚሳኤሎችን በአቦሰጠኝ ሲተኩስ የመጀመሪያው ጊዜ አይደለም።
ፕሬዝዳንት ባይደን ባለፈው ሳምንት ማብቂያ ላይ ከእስራኤል ጠቅላይ ሚኒስትር ቤንያሚን ነታንያሁና ከፍልስጤማውያን መሪ ማህሙድ አባስ ጋር ተነጋግረዋል። አስተዳደሩ በተጨማሪም ወደ ቀጠናው መልእክተኞች ልኳል። መሪሳ ሆርማ በዊልሰን ማዕከል የመካከለኛው ምስራቅ ፕሮግራም ስራስቲያጅ ናቸው።
The most immediate steps that have to be taken
አሁን ዩናይትድ ስቴትስ ቅድሚያ ሰጥታ ማድረግ ያለባት እያደረገችም ይመስላል ሁኔታውን የማርገብ ሚና መጫወት ነው። እንዲህ አይነቱን የግጭት መባባስና ከቁጥጥር ውጪ መሄድ እማናይበት ሁኔታ እንዲፈጠር ማድረግ ነው።
የወቅቱ ግጭት ከመነሳቱ በፊት የባይደን አስተዳደር ቅርቃር ውስጥ ገብቶ የቆየውን የሰላም ድርድር በአዲስ መልክ ለመጀመር ያደረገው ጥረት አልነበረም። አሁን ግን በሙስሊም አሜሪካውያን ብቻ ሳይሆን በዲሞክራቲክ ፓርቲያቸው ተራማጅ ክፍልም ጭምር ይህን እንዲያደርጉ ጫና እየገጠማቸው ነው።
የዋይት ሃውስ ዘጋቢያችን ፓትሲ ውዳስኳራና አዳነች ፍስሐዬን እናመሰግናለን። ወደ ተከታዩ ዘገባ እናልፋለን። የዩናይትድ ስቴትስ የበሽታዎች መቆጣጠሪያና መከላከያ ማዕከል ሲዲሲ የጸረ ኮቪድ ክትባታቸውን አሟልተው የተከተቡ ሰዎች ከቤት ውጪም ሆነ በቤት ውስጥ በአመዛኙ ያለ አፍና አፍንጫ መሸፈኛ ጭንብል መንቀሳቀስ ይችላሉ ሲል ባለፈው ሳምንት መገባደጃ ያወጣውን መመሪያ ተከትሎ አሜሪካውያን መመሪያውን በተጨባጭ በሕይወታቸው ላይ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለውን በመመዘን ላይ ናቸው። ሚሼል ኩዊን ያጠናቀረችውን ዘገባ አሉላ ከበደ ያስደምጠናል።
ከዩናይትድ ስቴትስ ህዝብ 1/3 የሚሆነው ብቻ ነው ሙሉ በሙሉ የተከተበው። 1/4 ያህሉ ደግሞ በዩናይትድ ስቴትስ በስራ ላይ ከዋሉት 3 የተለያዩ የክትባት አይነቶች አንዱን ለመውሰድ ያለማሰቡን ነው በተደጋጋሚ የተደረጉ የድምጽ ማሰባሰቢያ ጥናቶች ያመለከቱት። ለዚህም ይመስላል አሜሪካውያን የንግድ ድርጅቶችና የጤና ባለስልጣናት ይህ ሁሉ ባለበት የዩናይትድ ስቴትስ የበሽታዎች መቆጣጠሪያና መከላከያ ማዕከል ክትባቱን ሙሉ በሙሉ የወሰዱ ግለሰቦች ከጥቂት ገደቦች በስተቀር የፊት መሸፈኛ ጭንብል ሳያደርጉ መንቀሳቀስ ይችላሉ የሚለውን መመሪያ ማውጣቱ ድንገት ያልተጠበቀ እርምጃ ይሆንባቸው። ዶክተር ሮሼል ወለንስኪ የዩናይትድ ስቴትስ የበሽታዎች መቆጣጠሪያና መከላከያ ማዕከል ሲዲሲ ዲሬክተር ናቸው። መመሪያው ባጭሩ ስለ ግለሰብ ኃላፊነት ነው ይላሉ።
If they're vaccinated they are safe, if they are not vaccinated they are not safe.
የተከተቡ ከሆኑ ደህንነታቸው የተጠበቀ ነው። ካልተከተቡ ግን ያን ዋስትና የሚሰጥ ሁኔታ የለም አይፈጠርም። በመሆኑም ከኋለኛው ወገን የሆኑት አሁን የፊት መሸፈኛ ጭንብላቸውን ማድረግ መቀጠል አለባቸው። ከዚህ ሁሉ የተሻለው ደግሞ ክትባቱን መከተብ ነው።
የተከተቡና ያልተከተቡ ሰዎች ማንነት ስለማይለይ በሚል ነበር አንዳንድ የህዝብ ጤና አጠባበቅ ባለሙያዎች መመሪያውን በጣም ድንገተኛና ግራ የሚያጋባ ሲሉ የተቹት። በሌላ በኩል የባይደን አስተዳደር የተከተቡ ሰዎችን ለመለየት በሚል አንዳንዶች የሚያነሱ
special coverage of the historical NBA Basketball African League Championship Games in Rwanda. Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta broadcasting from Washington. Welcome to VOA Africa's special coverage of the Basketball African League taking place in Rwanda. Rwanda's home team, the Patriots, got off to a great start Sunday with an 83-60 win over Nigeria's Rivers Hoopers in the opening game of the 12-team tournament. American Brendan Costner scored a game-high 20 points for the Patriots, while British-born Rwandan professional Prince Ibe registered 11 points to help their team cruise to victory. Another American, former NBA player Talin Valdez-Sullivan, tallied a team-high 15 points for Rivers Hoopers, while former Cleveland Cavaliers point guard Ben Uzo added 12 points for the Nigerian club. But it wasn't enough to counter the Rwandan side, which won all 9 of their qualifying games coming into the league. American rap star J. Cole also made his professional debut for the Patriots, coming off the bench to score 3 points, grab 3 rebounds and pass for 2 assists. J. Cole and Brendan Costner, 2 of several late signings made by the Patriots just before the BL tournament to bolster the squad. There are 3 games scheduled today in Kigali. GS Petroliers of Algeria will play AS Douanes of Senegal. Ferroviario di Maputo of Mozambique will meet Zamalek of Egypt. And in the last game of the day, GNBC of Madagascar will be the underdog against US Monastir of Tunisia. In fact, my VOA friend and BAL broadcasting buddy Mukbilia Baro says this might be the most lopsided contest on Monday. Bill says more than a few African basketball analysts are picking Monastir to win the trophy.
This month, live from the Kigali Arena in Rwanda, the Basketball Africa League begins its inaugural season. With VOA Africa. Monday's games tip off at 1200 UTC, 1900 UTC.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to special VOA Africa coverage of the Basketball African League in Rwanda. The manager and co-founder of the Patriots, Brian Kirungi, watched Sunday's opening BAL game in the stands at the Kigali Arena. Before the game tipped off, Kirungi chatted with VOA's Jackson Vunganyi about the Patriots and the tournament. Here are Jackson and Brian Kirungi.
So Brian, talk to me about the excitement in Kigali. What's the mood like as you get ready to, you know, to host this tournament?
No, I mean, I've not seen anything like this before in my sporting career, you know, as a player, as a manager. The whole of Kigali is lit. Everything is about basketball. Everyone wants a ticket. Because of the COVID restrictions, there's limitation on the percentage of the arena. You only have 15% of the capacity. So all the people you know can't get tickets. So it gets in, it builds the hype even more. Being the host, having J. Cole in town, you know, builds it even further. So it's crazy. The country has gone mad.
Okay, you know? Talk to me about your inspiration to start. You're one of the founders and currently the manager of the Patriots Basketball Club. How How did you, what inspired you to start the club, and how did it get selected to be, to play in the Basketball Africa League?
You know, friends of mine always said is our journey is one of tears, pain, and sweat. So, you know, it's just a bunch of friends coming together for fitness, like you guys are doing down in D.C., you know, just to play for fun, keep in shape. But, you know, after some time, we said, look, how, what else can we do for the game? Can we get into the league and maybe change a few things? You know, go changing how the, you know, professional the league is run, what times the games are, can we introduce Friday night lights? Can we bring prime time? Can we bring, you know, fans to the arena? When we started, there was, you know, no people actually watching these games. There were no drinks, there was no popcorn, there was no coke, you know. So it was just a game. I'd rather, you know, make it with friends, young people can actually come and enjoy. So it's been a tough journey. It started in 2014. And I think when this whole concept of trying to introduce the league, the NBA league out of the U.S. started, we were just, you know, we're champions in the local league. But they told us if we were champions the coming year, would have to represent the country. And this is how basically we got to qualify for the games. They were obviously postponed. They should have been last year. Because of COVID, they pushed them today. So we're excited that we're now here.
Right,
tomorrow
right.
is D-Day.
It's been a long journey for you. I mean, I remember you coming over to D.C. to visit me. We went to, we'll take you playing basketball with my friends. Yes. Yes. I remember taking you to a couple of times to the University of Maryland College Park here in my neighborhood at the court.
Yes.
We played with some of those young players. But, you know, what does it mean for you to see the team grow to where it is right now, to where it represents the country on this level?
I mean, Jackson, you're right. I mean, it's been a long, long journey for us. But and some of you have played a big part in this, you know, showing us facilities and infrastructure in, you know, in the U.S. and things we could learn. And see, you know, how we could bring this back home, you know. And for us, the journey of moving from an amateur club to a pro club, you know, basically meaning that now, you know, you have a whole structure around you. It's not just Brian and friends, you know, taking charge of things. We have, you know, professional players coming out of the U.S. to join, you know, and beef up our team. We have players picking on salaries that they would never otherwise have picked up. You know, we have a whole structure of, you know, CEO or COO, people who actually run the organization. So for us, or rather for me, to see this come to this stage is like, you know, how your wife gives you the first child, or it's like when you get your first job, or when you, you know, marry, you know, those first.
It's one
first
of those, first, you know, remarkable achievements, monumental.
Those aha moments.
Let's talk about the state of basketball in the country, in Rwanda. What is the state of basketball in Rwanda, and what does it mean for the country that it gets to host this historic tournament?
I think, again, it speaks to the country. I mean, Rwanda has been ready for things like this, you know, not just in the sporting world, but, I mean, every other sphere in terms of the leadership, the you know, the what do you call it, the peace, you know, the infrastructure that they're putting in place to make sure that we are ready, you know. Transparency, raising awareness in the country that say, look, when you host something like this, you're actually, you know, showing off your country, what else they have behind them, if it's a tourism, if it's investment opportunities. So for us, we're using this as a platform. So it's just basketball. It's going to be on the floor. We're going to sweat out there and play, but it's just basically how you use that to actually show off or showcase what Rwanda has to present. So, I mean, I think Rwanda has been ready. They've built all the pillars, you know, be it the peace, be it the cleanliness, the, you know, the awareness of everybody.
The standards, basically.
They raise the standards, actually. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you're right.
And what is the state of basketball in the country? How popular is the sport?
I think I should be, you know, at the risk of being very arrogant because I love the game of basketball. I think we're becoming a very close number two to soccer. and if we keep at this pace, I think we'll overtake soccer because our soccer team has not really done so well in the past, so we hopefully, if we do well at this tournament, we'll, you know, be pushing up there. But Rwanda, I think, is ready for sports. We have cycling, which is doing well. We have cricket. We have all these other sports that are actually doing well. So basketball is just one of those. Mm-hmm. But I think it's doing so well, you know. And Patriots, we're so lucky that we've been given a platform to be at the forefront of this whole, you know, journey.
You feel like the country is ready to become a basketball powerhouse on the continent?
I think the time is now. You know, it's a big challenge. We're going to go against, you know, big powerhouses like Angola, like Tunisia, Egypt, and Morocco. Mm-hmm. But I think the time is now. You know, we just have to, you know, you only test yourself against the best. And those are the best, then Rwanda. And we just have 2 weeks to, you know, come to the table.
Right. I know the Basketball Africa League was supposed to happen last year, but it was postponed or canceled because of the pandemic. How hard was it for you to manage the team and prepare for this tournament during this pandemic?
I mean, like you can imagine, Jackson, it was tough in terms of, I mean, resources were cut back, you know, investors in the club, sponsors to the club, all those cut back because of their own issues in their houses. We had players in country because when it was postponed in March, I'd actually brought in all my imports. I'd already brought in my coaches. We were housing them, we were feeding them, we were getting them ready for the championship. I'd signed contracts with all the 12 players and the coaches. So, you know, breaking those contracts, ensuring that everybody is happy, keeping them, you know, ready for, you know, what is actually after 12 months, we're going to play for 12 months, was a challenge. But, you know, keeping everybody interested in the game, I think that was a critical point. It's not to give up because you could have easily given up. I could have walked away, you know, they could have walked away. But I think we kept the hope, you know, the dream and said, look, guys, whenever this opens up, I think we'll be there. Mm-hmm. So I think our biggest challenge was, yes, resources, but I think keeping the love of the game, you know, at its best.
Keeping it going.
And I think we did well, and there's a couple of guys behind me, you know, behind the organization that played a critical role to keep us here. And I think, you know, we were here tomorrow again, like I say, it's day. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be worth the wait. So let's see how we play out.
We are very excited. And I know, you know, Brian, you're a very busy man right now. These are very critical hours for you. So I won't keep you long, but I'm hoping that we'll catch up with you at some point later on during the week. But before you go, I want to ask you, you know, your team just signed to its roster one of the most famous artists in the world. You know, that's rapper J. Cole. How did that happen? And what does J. Cole bring to the team?
I think, first of all, J. Cole is just a baller, you know, and I want to speak to the man as just a basketballer. It helps that he has a career outside of basketball. It does, you know, bring us a little bit of attention. But I think for me, what was most important when I was, like, negotiating his engagement with us was more about the love for the game and the ability for him to come to the continent and play for Rwanda, play for Patriots, you know, don my jersey. I think that's, for me, speaks to the world to say, you know what, we are ready to attract the best of the best. We are ready to attract the top talent. And Rwanda is the destination, you know, come through, you know, come and test your abilities. You know, we are willing to give everybody an opportunity. So for us, J. Cole, Patriots is a marriage, if you will, made in heaven. And I hope it does work, you know. I really hope it does work, and I think it will.
Really proud of you, Brian. And I want to tell you that I'm about to go start playing basketball with my friends. We are going to be streaming J. Cole's album. We had a big speaker when we were playing. So, you know, shout out to you and your teammates.
Thank you.
You guys will be watching on you. And, you know, big up, my brother.
Appreciate you, Jackson. Thank you so much.
That's Brian Kirungi, the manager and co-founder of Rwanda's Patriots Basketball Club. And he spoke with VOS Jackson Vunganyi from Kigali, Rwanda. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to special VOA Africa coverage of the Basketball African League in Rwanda. One of the top basketball officials in West Africa is retired Colonel Sam Amedu, the president of FIBA African Zone 3. I and Mike Mbonye asked Colonel Amedu what message does he have for the 12 BAL teams that will be on the court in Kigali.
My message to the teams participating in the inaugural Basketball Africa League in Kigali, Rwanda, is that every participant should strive for the best. In striving for the best, they should play within the spirit of sportsmanship and endeavor to give the game the positive image that it deserves. Despite the prize money attached to the competition, it should not be a win at all cost syndrome. By that I mean every team should win within the ambits of the rules of the game. This way, there will be more confidence built on the league, and we can then have a good direction moving forward. Overall, I wish all the teams the best.
Are there teams from FIBA Zone 3 participating in the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League? What are their chances?
In this competition, River Supers of Port Harcourt is representing Nigeria and also representing FIBA Africa Zone 3. I had the opportunity of visiting the team in their training camp in Lagos, Nigeria, where I donated balls and some other incentives on behalf of FIBA Africa Zone 3 to the team. It is my belief that they have a very good chance based on the recruitment that they have made and based on the spirit. I have no doubt that River Supers will do well.
Do you think organizers of the Basketball Africa League should increase the number of participating teams in future tournaments?
I do strongly believe and recommend that the number of teams in the Basketball Africa League should be increased. Having only 12 teams playing in Africa, it's not the best, so to speak, in the sense that we have over 52 countries in Africa, and a lot of them have national federations that also have their own national league. Also, 6 teams were picked automatically based on their basketball pedigree. Having picked those six teams, the drawback is that the other good teams in from their countries that came second in their leagues are left out. And some of these teams are better than some of the teams that didn't qualify automatically but had to go and play playoffs through their zones. So, for example, a second team from Nigeria is actually better than a second team from Niger. But in this case, the first team haven't qualified from Nigeria automatically, the second team has no chance to play in the bar. And for what it is worth, it is clear that the organizers of bar want a high level of the game, which can be facilitated by the second place team from either Nigeria or Angola or Tunisia or Senegal or Morocco, as the case may be. So therefore, I would strongly recommend that the teams participating in the BAL proper should be increased. On the other hand, if this is not practicable, then I would recommend that a second tier league be created to also create rooms for the likes of the teams from the countries that I just mentioned. And maybe in the long run, we can start thinking of promotion from that second tier to the, we can start thinking of how to run the two tiers side by side or one after the other. But overall, 12 teams for BAL in the whole continent like Africa is not enough. Even though for a start, we can make do with the 12, but thereafter, we have to find a way to increase the teams in BAL or create a second tier.
That's retired Colonel Sam Ahmedu, the president of FIBA African Zone 3, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonyi on the telephone from the southern U.S. city of Atlanta, Georgia. And Prince Nestor, and you're listening to VOA Africa's special coverage of the Basketball African League in Rwanda. Los Angeles Lakers legend Kobe Bryant was inducted posthumously into the Basketball Hall of Fame over the weekend. Guess what? Surprise, surprise. VOA's Sunny Young reports.
The Basketball Hall of Fame officially inducted 9 new members over the weekend, including the late Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant. The 5-time NBA champion died last year at the age of 41 in a helicopter crash, along with his daughter Gianna and 7 others near Los Angeles, California. The Hall of Fame induction ceremonies were held at the Mohegan Sun Resort in the northeast U.S. state of Connecticut. Kobe's widow, Vanessa, offered an acceptance on his behalf as NBA great Michael Jordan stood nearby.
Last February, I called Michael and asked him if he would introduce Kobe tonight, and he graciously accepted. Thank you for being here, Michael. Congratulations, baby. All of your hard work and sacrifice has paid off. You once told me, if you're going to bet on someone, bet on yourself. I'm glad you bet on yourself, you overachiever. You did it.
You're in the Hall of Fame now. You're a true champ. You're not just an MVP. You're an all-time great. I'm so proud of you. I love you forever and always. Kobe Bean Bryant.
Also inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame were two of the sport's best big men, Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. Duncan, like Kobe Bryant, was a five-time NBA champion. He spent his entire 19-year NBA career with the San Antonio Spurs, earning All-Star honors 15 times. For his part, Kevin Garnett played 21 seasons in the NBA and also earned All-Star honors 15 times. And in 2008, the man nicknamed KG won an NBA championship with the Boston Celtics. Both Duncan and Garnett paid tribute to Kobe Bryant. Duncan says he knew he had to take his game to the highest level when he played against Kobe.
Your greatest competition brings the best out of you, and that's what he always did. You always had to be at your best and bring your best from start to finish if you were playing against him or any of his teams. And I think that's what I appreciate about remembering playing against him and being on the court with him. A fierce competitor and always demanding more of his team and his teammates than probably was possible. But he wanted to win that much. He wanted it that much. And it was an honor to share the court with him.
For his part, Kevin Garnett says he had a very close relationship with Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant was like a little bro to me, man. I got to see Kobe. He was very young and not as polished as everybody's got to see him when he was very vulnerable. We were both vulnerable. We were both young. And we used to always interact with each other with that youthfulness, with that kid persona. We always talked the game, cracked a lot of jokes on each other, but at the end, it was two very fierce competitors. And there was our parallel. You know, as much as he wanted to win, I wanted to win at the same time. As much as he thought he was the best, I thought I was the best. So I always crack on him and tell him he was too small to play. He used to always crack on me, tell him I was too small to guard him. It was great conversation, great back and forth, and great competition. And I don't think I'm the only one in here that thinks that Kobe Bryant is fairly missed. Miss him every day. And what he brought to not just to the game of basketball, but to sports, period.
Also inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame was former WNBA star Tamika Catchings. And the five others who received their sport's highest honor were American coaches Kim Mulkey, Barbara Stevens, Eddie Sutton, and Rudy Tomjanovich. And Swiss basketball executive Patrick Baumann, like Kobe Bryant, was inducted posthumously. I'm VOA Sonny Young, sending it back to Prince Nesta and VOA Africa's special coverage of the Basketball Africa League.
Thanks, Sonny. By the way, Sonny's going to be joining us on Thursday, May 20th for the halftime and postgame shows for our BAL coverage. Stay tuned for that. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to special VOA Africa coverage of the Basketball African League in Rwanda. VOA is the radio broadcast partner of the new 12-team league, a partnership of the U.S. National Basketball Association, NBA, and the Geneva-based International Basketball Federation, FIBA. And remember, you can also track the BAL tournament in Bambara, French, Kenya, Rwanda, Portuguese, and Wolof on VOA Africa, VOAnews.com, VOA Twitter, and Facebook account. I'm actually checking out the roster right now on VOAnews.com, which features 154 players taking part in the tournament from 24 countries across different continents, including Africa, Europe, the Middle East, and the U.S. Basketball African League President Amadou Gallo Fall has been talking with the Voice of America about the inaugural BAL League taking place at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. In his interview with VOA in Johannesburg, South Africa, Amadou touched on the significance of the tournament, among other related topics.
The Basketball Africa League is another milestone in the NBA's effort to grow the game across the continent. As you know, we've opened the NBA Africa office in Johannesburg in 2010, right before the FIFA World Cup. But before that, we had launched Basketball Without Borders in 2003, where we brought 100 young boys ages 18 and under, and later on we added a program for the women also. That program is a partnership between the NBA and FIBA. It is our global community outreach and basketball development program. You know, and I think we are in the 17th, the 18th edition last year, if COVID had permitted, of the Basketball Without Borders program. But that program that we ran every year from 2003 really gave us an impetus to think about having a physical presence on the ground, because we saw a tremendous opportunity to grow the sport. You know, the talent was certainly here and was always here. That talent had found its way in the NBA. As we know, great legends like Hakeem Olajuwon and Dikembe Mutombo, Manu Ball, and a host of other you know, younger players who made their mark in the NBA. Basketball Without Borders was the first opportunity to provide young players an opportunity to showcase their talent and be coached by NBA team personnel and coaches. When we opened the office, we thought that we wanted to focus on really making the game more accessible to young boys and girls who have a passion and wants to play the game. And the decade that was from 2010 to 20, you know, really to today, all the developments and all the activities we've conducted have led now to the launch of this professional basketball league that is Pan-African, that is a collaboration between FIBA and the NBA. So I think it's a natural evolution after really priming the region and shining a spotlight on the game, growing it from grassroots level. Now is the time to launch a professional league that will showcase African talent and that would also attract global talent. The Basketball Africa League is the Champions League model. It is building on the tradition of club basketball championships that FIBA, our partner, has been running. You have national leagues in all the countries across the continent. We are taking the champions of national leagues into the Basketball Africa League. And the way we structured this, there were 6 out of the 12 teams that come from countries that we pre-selected based on really their history with basketball tradition, the popularity of the sport, the level of infrastructure, and also where they sit. If you look at the rankings, you know, in terms of basketball historically across the continent. The 6 countries that I talked about were Nigeria, which is going to represent Africa in the next Olympics. In the past few years, they've been, you know, a perennial presence in terms of really not only the talent they continue to produce into the NBA, but just their performances in international competition. Teams from Nigeria, Angola, Senegal, Egypt, Tunisia, and Morocco will qualify automatically. And those represent, in some form of order, you know, the top 6, you know, teams, and they are definitely in the top 10 on the continent. And the other 6 teams are coming from countries that FIBA, our partners, organized qualifiers. Teams from 30 countries participated to deliver the other 6. They came from Cameroon, Madagascar, Rwanda, Algeria, Mali, and Mozambique. Everything we've seen over the past few decades since we've been in Africa, since the NBA, you know, have been coming and working at grassroots level to develop the sport, we have no doubt that everybody recognizes the, you know, tremendous amount of talent that the continent has. So, you know, the talent has always been there.
In that interview with the Basketball African League president, Amadou Gallophone wraps up our May 17th pregame show. Thanks to the National Basketball Association, NBA, the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the Voice of America for making this broadcast possible. You can catch the action right here or on the BAL.com or NBA.com. Special thanks to my halftime and post-game co-host, Super Producer Mokbilia Barrow. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nestor, VOA Africa's Basketball African League pregame show. That's VOA Africa's special coverage of the historical NBA Basketball African League Championship games in Rwanda.